For the last few weeks, we've been thinking about teamwork and some of the factors that go into making up a successful team, an effective team, a smoothly functioning team. Some of those factors have included the expectations and assumptions we bring to our association with a team. And we do all bring expectations. We all expect that the team is going to work in a certain way based on our past experiences. And we also have to take into account the assumptions and expectations of our coworkers. Now, realistic expectations are important, aren't they? Well, Gordon and Rosemary are our special guests again today, and they spend quite a lot of their time monitoring teams, counseling teams, and assisting teams. They are also involved in marriage counseling. And as they say, there are a lot of factors that are common to a successful marriage and to successful teamwork. One of those factors that we're going to look at today is commitment. That involves a certain amount of self-denial, but that concept doesn't seem to be too popular today. And commitment? Well, perhaps it's not as common as it used to be in personal relationships and with work relationships. A lot of people want to keep their options open. They want to be able to move on to something different at any time and someplace different if they feel like it. And committing to a project or a team as a long-term option does seem to be more rare these days. Is that true? Well, Rosemary and Gordon still have a certain feeling of confidence and optimism about commitment.
I can see why. They certainly don't like to commit themselves long-term to one specific task or company. I read the other day in the paper that people under 30 expect to change job every 2 to 3 years, which is very short compared with the people who were company men who worked with the same company for a lifetime. But I'm not sure that means less commitment. We've found that young people in teams often have a high degree of commitment to each other and the team. Although they will commit themselves for 2 to 3 years, they then may want to go into other things. But whilst they're there, they have a high degree of commitment to what they're doing.
With young people, it'll be often too, once they've committed themselves to work in this team for this vision, their relationship to one another will also be part of their commitment. So they commit to one another for the length or the life of that team. Certainly not necessarily the task itself. It can sometimes be a commitment to the team that's the vision. The vision may be, you know, just being a team in itself. It really fires them up. Many do have that willingness to stay together and work together. As long as there's still warmth there. They say, I think, even in marriages, that if people are arguing, that doesn't necessarily mean the marriage has ended. And I would say that about a team too. It's when the communication breaks down and you don't talk anymore. That's when things are really in problems with the team too.
So, for a good team, we need people who are committed to the task and committed to the team. They're not just there to enjoy the scenery or the adventure of being in a new place for a time. They're committed to the goals of the project and committed to the team of people they're working with. Does this degree of commitment vary with the ages of the individuals on the team? Are some more likely to commit than others? Gordon and Rosemary don't think it's really a matter of age differences or the different viewpoints that people of different ages might have.
I'm not sure that Generation Xers aren't more committed in a team. That we, in our own work, a lot of our older workers would say, well, I'm called to this task, and therefore, since you want to do it differently to me, I'll go and do it on my own. I think the younger generation would say, I'm called to you. We're called to work together. Let's sit down and work it out. So I'm not sure they're any less committed. Maybe less committed to long-term service with one group.
So does the concept of commitment also mean that you deny yourself? In other words, you make no claims on your own time and family. You're so committed to the team and the project that you work all the time. For some people, that's exactly what it means. They take commitment to the level of becoming a workaholic.
I don't actually believe that the Lord wants any of us to be workaholics. I do think that he will want us to be committed to relationships, but not committed to the work to the extent that it can affect our relationships in the team, with our spouse, with our family, in any way.
we're all of us committed to many, many things. Actually, we're all of us in several teams. We're in the family team. We're in the God relationship team. We're in our work team, and we may have several work teams. So, yes, there has to be a balance. But I think if our value system says family is important, if our value system says my relationships in the team is important, we'll get a better balance than if I say my work is absolutely critical. And if these other things get in the way, it's quite godly to allow them to go to the wall.
I think I would say that I would feel that if you got to the end of your life and you looked back, even if you're involved in work for the Lord, that you will never feel on your deathbed, I wish I'd worked more. But you might feel, I wish I'd spent more time with my spouse or with my family. And that the well-being of your marriage and your family is a life and death issue, a spiritual life and death issue.
As I mentioned earlier, Gordon and Rosemary find a lot of parallels between marriage and the relationships that work in the concept of teams. Commitment is important both for marriage and for teamwork, and so is something that both Gordon and Rosemary have mentioned before in our earlier visits with them, communication.
Rosemary and I have been involved with one or two marriages that are struggling, and where they come to us and they both want help and they both say, we want this marriage to work. I have real peace. I know it may take time, may take a bit of pain, but if there's commitment there to make it work, it will work. If people come to us and they're saying, well, you know, if it works, fine, but I don't really feel I'm going to put a lot of effort into that. Or people in today's world, today's Western world, get married with a very low commitment, will stay in there as long as it meets my need, but if it doesn't, I'm off. That is very difficult to work with. We've said communication, communication, communication. There are two keys to any relationship, two keys to a team, commitment and communication. They're like two legs that you can walk on. And if you've got commitment there and you communicate, then you can make a team work, you can make a marriage work, you can make any relationship work.
All right, now let's go back to commitment. We know it's important, but what if you don't really believe in the project to which you have been assigned? Can you be committed to something you don't really believe in? Can you put your whole mind and effort into working on something that you don't believe in? Well, that brings up another factor in this equation. Your commitment really depends on something else. Your commitment depends on your motivation.
Motivation can come from lots of different things. I think I was sort of getting at it when I said that younger people are often motivated just by the being part of a team. All of us, though, have a need to belong to a group of people, and that can be a motivation in itself. Equally, for some people, it may be the task or the work that the team's involved in that is motivating them. That will motivate them to commit themselves to the team because they see that's the best way to achieve the task. There's a sort of task-relationship dichotomy going on in all of us, and we're all of us somewhere on a continuum, I would say. Some of us are much more motivated by whatever the task may be. Others of us are much more motivated by the relationships issues involved in being in a team. So either of those could be a motivational factor in our commitment.
Relationship people see the task people as cold and distant and not, they usually accuse them of not being able to relate. But in all these things, we need balance and we need to value each other. The Bible teaching is that it's not the body is not all eye or all ear, but we need both. And it's not the foot or the hand, but the foot and the hand to have a complete body. And I like to value the people who are task-oriented and to value the people who are people-oriented and say together we can get the job done. If the team were all people-oriented, they have a great time, but sometimes they lose their focus of getting the job done. If they're all task-oriented, the cooperation begins to slip as soon as one has an idea that's different to another, and they don't get the job done because there's not sufficient cooperation. So you're back to balanced team, which we talked about in an earlier program.
Today we learned some more about teamwork, team building, and some of the factors that go into building an effective, compatible, and smoothly functioning team. Factors such as commitment and motivation, and of course, communication. Gordon and Rosemary were our special guests today. Counseling teams is what they do, and they'll be back with us again next week at this same time as we learn some more about building an effective team.